happy that you're here today. Thank you for being here. I want to ask you if you have your Bible with you to open your Bible to Ephesians, if you would. I want to read from chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, if you have your Bibles. It's a blessing to serve the Lord. It is a blessing to know that our God has everything in His control. And it's a blessing to know that serving Him never gets old. We may become tired, but we should not become weary. Our zeal for Him should be growing every day. And what a blessing to have a living Christ. Ephesians chapter 5. I want to speak to you today from this verse. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, precious children. Ephesians is a marvelous book. It talks about the believer's conduct in four areas of life. And it is from those four areas today that I want to encourage us. Ephesians presents the true church and its truths. It is not just a letter to a singular church, but I think that Ephesians is a letter to the church, period, the worldwide, invisible, worldwide church. Not just the Baptists, but every person who's a part of the body of Christ, the bride of Jesus. I believe this book is written to them. There's three areas that he writes about. First of all, he writes about the believer's exalted position. If you and I could just lay hold upon this, it would be such a tremendous impact on our Christian life. Do you realize, according to Ephesians chapter 2 and verse number 6, that you and I are seated positionally? Positionally, you are seated in Jesus Christ in heaven. Salvation is a twofold relationship. Christ is in us, and we're in Christ. And Ephesians 2:10 tells us that we are seated with Christ. 2:6, we're seated with Christ in heavenly places. This very moment, if you are a believer, you are seated positionally with Christ in heaven. That ought to mean something to us. That ought to give us such an appreciation. That ought to challenge us to be so committed to Christ that He has seated us with Him in heaven. Not only does He deal with that area, that the believer's position is an exalted position. Number two, He talks about the truth concerning the entire body of Christ. Ephesians gives us the truth concerning the entire body of Christ. Look with me just a moment, if you will, at Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 20. Listen at this. This is a wonderful truth. This is the church. He says in verse 19, we're no longer strangers and foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with the saints. Saints are in heaven, saints are on earth. We are part of that through Christ and of the household of God. God's entire household, we're a part of it. And he says, and we are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. Wow. What a building. What a foundation. And he says, in that building, in the church, in the body, in whom all the building fittedly is framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord. Then he says, in whom you also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. So Ephesians tells us, it gives us truth concerning the entire body of Christ. We're part of that body. God has framed his building with our lives, and it's fittedly framed. God puts us in a place here and a place there and a place here and a place over there in his body, in his building. And he has taken meticulous care to see that it is framed right. That's one of the things that's taught in the book of Ephesians. And then number three, he talks about the believer's conduct in accordance with our position. If our position is that we are seated in Christ already in heaven, what should be our conduct here in this world? I want to give you four things about our conduct. Number one, our conduct involves our walk. Our walk. What should our walk here on this earth be? Well, the Bible tells us in Ephesians that we're to walk in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse. He tells us that we're to walk in love. Look at Ephesians 5 and look at verse number 2. He said, walk in love. Our conduct should be one of love. Walk in love. In love, listen to this. Walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You and I to walk in love as Christ loved us. Let me ask you a question. How many of you, and my mic just went off, fellas, I don't know what it is. We're to walk in love as Christ has loved us. Let me ask you, how many of you were raised in a family where there were other siblings beside you, other brothers and sisters, raise your hand. Oh, that's good, all over the building. Let me ask you a question. Did you ever have a falling out with one of your brothers or sisters? Did y'all ever get out of fellowship with one another? I think all of us would say that was a very, very real thing in our lives. It's a part of our lives. Well, as a family, I remember when our girls were small, Debbie and Donna, I think there was 16 months difference in their age. And when they got 2 or 3 years old, those little girls would have disagreements. One of them would get the other's toy or whatever, or get the other's doll, and disharmony would come. And they'd fall out of fellowship for a moment. I don't know if they remember this, but I do. When they would have a little squabble and a little fuss, you know what my wife would do? She'd say, Debbie, Donna, come here. She'd say, I want you to tell her you're sorry. Then she'd say to the other, I want you to tell her you're sorry. And then she would have them embrace and hug one another. I don't know what it was about the power of that hugging, that embracing. And those words, I'm sorry. But it worked. It got them back in fellowship. And that's what he's talking about in this passage. He is saying, look at Ephesians chapter 4 a moment. Let me read chapter 4, verse 32 to you. Listen to verse 32. Listen to this. This is talking about the family. This is talking about men and women who are brothers and sisters in God's marvelous, wonderful family. Aren't you glad you're in God's family? Aren't you glad that God chose you and God convicted you and God drew you? And when you trusted Christ, aren't you glad that God placed you in His family for all eternity? Does that mean anything to you? It does to me. And if you're in God's family, you and I are brothers and sisters. We're brothers and sisters. We don't have any choice about it. We're brothers and sisters because we've been born by the same power and the same Spirit. Listen to what he said. And he said, be ye kind one to another. That is the kind of love that we're to walk in. And be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Do you know what would help me this morning and probably would help you if you and I were out of fellowship with one another? If I knew for certain that there was some man or even a lady in this church that was somehow had become hurt at me and somehow they just didn't want to fellowship with me, you know what would help? It'd help if I came and if you're a man, place my big old strong muscular arms around your shoulder and say to you, I love you in the Lord. You're my brother in the Lord and I love you in the Lord and I'm sorry if I hurt you. There's nothing wrong with that. And the same thing applies to you sisters. It'd be good for us. And we're to walk in love. Why? Why are we to walk in love? Well, first of all, to please the Heavenly Father. Because He died for that other person just like He died for you. Think about that. His blood was shed for the other person just like His blood was shed for you and for me. I remember when I first got saved and I had just begun preaching. I had a short temper, and I got so mad at my pastor, Barry Henderson. He just really cleaned my plow about serving the Lord. I mean, he'd just set you down. He'd say, sit down over there, boy, and he'd set you down, and he'd start at the top, and he'd go to the heel and start up and go up again. And I was so hurt at him. Oh, I was mad at him. And every Sunday, he'd go back to the back door, and I'd go out the door, Brother James, and Brother Henderson would get a hold of my hand and put one hand on my shoulder, Brother John, and he'd say, hello, preacher. And when he said, hello, preacher, that just killed me. I was so mad, I didn't even want to look at him hardly. And he'd say, hello, preacher. Hello, preacher. And that would just tear my heart out. And it ought to be that way with all of us. When we get cross and when we get out of fellowship with somebody in the family of God, it ought to tear our heart out. And he said, this is what we're to do. We're to be kind one to another. You say, Brother Don, you don't know what that guy did. He hurt me. Well, he hurt me. He said something to hurt me, or he said something about me to hurt me. You know what'd help? Go to that brother and say, hey, how about letting me take you and your wife out for a meal today? Place an arm around his neck and say, I want you to know I love you. And the same thing would apply to you precious sisters. He said, walk in love. And you know what? The world sees that. Unbelievers see that. And they say, man, that person hurt that person, but yet that person forgives and loves. What a testimony. What an influence we have on the world. And he said, and forgive, be a kind one to another. Be tenderhearted. Be tenderhearted. forgiving one another, even as, listen to this, even as God. Why did God forgive me, for Christ's sake? Why should I forgive you, for Christ's sake? Why should men forgive those that have hurt them, for Christ's sake? How are we to do it? For Christ's sake. I'm to do it for Christ's sake, for the sake of the Lord. And he said, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Isn't that precious? Do you know why I'm forgiven today? For Jesus' sake. My Heavenly Father forgives me for Christ's sake. Do you know why you're forgiven? For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. For Christ's sake. And then, not only are we to walk in love, but listen to this. Because of the believer's position in Christ, we're seated in Christ, we're to walk as light in this world. We're not to cast a shadow of darkness. We're to walk in light. Listen to this. Ephesians 5:8, listen to this. For ye were sometimes in darkness. That's what we were before we met Jesus. Now listen, notice, he didn't say you walked in darkness. He said you were darkness. You were darkness. There was no light, no spiritual light in us at all. We were in darkness. We were darkness. For ye were sometimes darkness. Oh, how great is that darkness? How awful was that darkness? But now, are ye light in the Lord? We're light in the Lord. Then he said, walk as light. Walk as children of light. We are the children of light. Let's walk as children of light. So we are to walk in light, children of light. Look at verse 24 of Ephesians, if you will, chapter 4. Listen to this. Now, and that you put on the new man. Wow. We're to let the new man shine. We're to let Christ shine through us. We're not to try to draw attention to ourselves. We're to draw attention to Christ. And that you put on the new man, listen, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, you may not want to acknowledge this. You might say, well, preacher, I don't want to boast and I don't want to brag. But I want to tell you something. If you're saved, you are true righteousness and true holiness. If you're saved, the righteousness of God is in you, and God has created you, saved you, and placed inside of you true holiness. If we just listen to that inward man, if we just listen to that person who lives on the inside, we are to walk in light. Not only should we walk in love and walk in light, but did you know we're to walk in wisdom? God wants his children to walk in wisdom. Have you ever said things that 3 seconds or 3 minutes after you said it, you thought, how carnal that is. How foolish that is. Have you ever said that? Sometimes we react and say things that are just hard and harsh. But we ought not do that. We ought to walk, we should walk in wisdom. Look at Ephesians 5, excuse me, in verse number 15. Listen to this. Seeing then that you walk circumspectly. what does that word circumspectly mean? It means this, that I am to walk carefully. I am to realize that this earth is the witnessing place. I am to realize that this earth as we know it, this society is an enemy to God. And we are to walk very, very carefully as believers. We're to walk very, very carefully. Listen to this. Walk circumspectly or carefully, not as, and this word is used right, it's not used to slander anybody, but he said not as fools. The word for fools here is a word that means unwise. It's a word that means carelessly. It means that a person walks not recognizing and acknowledging that we belong to Christ. There was a book of fiction written several years ago, and it became so famous. I'm told that church members read it, and revivals were the results of reading the book. The book was entitled, What Would Jesus Do If He Was in Your Place? And in the churches that used that book and advocated to members reading that book, they asked the people to ask this question, what would Jesus do in this situation? How would Jesus handle this situation? How would the Lord Jesus respond in this situation? And there's a number of things they ask. I think the book talked about them plucking the beard of Jesus from his face. How would you respond to that? They talked about how they beat Jesus until he was almost unrecognizable as a human being. They asked the question, how would you respond to that situation? And the book was so famous, people all over America read it. Christians were moved and stirred, and churches really experienced supposedly an element of revival. But what would you do? And this word fool means that a person just doesn't take into account. They act without really thinking. But he says, see that you walk carefully, not as fools, not as unsaved people, not as people who do not know God, but as wise. But as wise people, taking advantage of the time. Recognizing that the time, the day that God's given us is given for his glory. Redeeming the time, he said, because the days are evil. We need to walk carefully. We need to walk carefully. We need to guard our speech. We need to guard our steps. We need to think before we act sometimes. And he said, we're to walk in wisdom. Walk in wisdom. And then not only should we walk in love, walk in light, and walk in wisdom. But if we're going to emulate Jesus, we must walk after or in the Holy Spirit. Does the Holy Spirit live in you? Would you answer that question honestly? Can you truthfully say that the Holy Spirit lives in you? Does he guide you? Does he direct your life? God has purposed that he do that. It is God's will that he do that. Does the Holy Spirit guide your life? Does he? Look at verse 18 through verse 21, if you will. He said, and be not drunk, Be not influenced with wine, wherein is excess. A person becomes uncontrollable. A person becomes so influenced with wine until the wine controls his or her actions. And he said, be not drunk. Be not intoxicated with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled. Be filled with the Spirit. Most of us can recognize a drunk person. Most of us can recognize one. I've dealt with drunks just on many, many occasions, and you can spot them. You can spot an intoxicated person. They're easy to spot. I heard the story about a drunk man that was going down the sidewalk. And he walked up to a person on the sidewalk and he didn't realize that the other person was drunk too. And he walked up to him and said, excuse me, buddy, can you tell me, is that the moon up there? And the guy said, friend, I can't help you. I'm a stranger here myself. Make you talk crazy. Make you say things that you normally wouldn't do. Make you try things that you normally wouldn't attempt. Really will. Being drunk will cause you to do that. He's in heaven, I believe. My brother, he died at 51. He was the clown in our family. He came home from Korea, discharged from the service, came home, and he was as wild could be. He got to drinking. And one Saturday night, it was about 10 o'clock in the summertime. We just plowed the fields on either side of our home. My father and mother were lying in the bed, and I was up watching a black and white TV. And I heard somebody running across the front porch toward the house. My little mother was so simple. She loved all the children. As far as she was concerned, neither one of them ever made a mistake. I heard someone running across the front porch. My brother, who had left it at 1:30 that day on Saturday, left at 1:30, Brother James. The front door flew open, and I'm just a tot of a boy now. But I was wise enough and old enough to know this. It was my brother Ivan. And he was just, as they say, drunk as a coot. And my little mother jumped up in her gown. And he said, Mama, quick, get me a quilt. Get me a quilt. I've got to hide. He said, I just gunned a man down in Texas, and the Texas Rangers are in hot pursuit on my trail. I wasn't very old, but I was old enough to know that my brother in an old A model that wouldn't run 45 miles an hour, I was old enough to know that my brother didn't go from Georgia to Texas and gun somebody down and get back here to look for a quilt at 10 o'clock at night. And my little mother was scared to death. He grabbed a quilt, went out the back door, stuck his foot in the slop bucket when he went off the back porch and kicked it out across the yard. My dad got up and put on his overalls and got dressed, and my brother Vernon came in about that time. And Daddy said, let's go look for Ivan. They took the lanterns and went out through those plowed fields, and they could find his footprints in that plowed ground. And they trailed him out across the field up on the ridge and up on top of the knoll. He was lying on the upper side of a terrace row, and he was wrapped up in the quilt. And the water had backed up. He'd become a dam for the water, and the water was running over him and running over the terrace row. They got him up. He was muddy. Oh, he was muddy, filthy, muddy. Got him up and got him back to the house. Just as he got inside the house, he vomited everywhere, Brother Bob, in the floor, all over the floor, all over everything. You know what my little mother did? In a humble spirit at midnight, she got the mop, got the bucket, cleaned up the floor, washed up his muddy tracks through the house, put him to bed. Now, I don't know how patient I'd be today if that happened. I might let him lie above the terrace row. But love will make a difference. And a person that's intoxicated or not at themselves, you probably could not have given him as much as he needed money back then. You probably couldn't have given him $25 to hire him to go up there and lay above that terrace row if he'd have been at himself. But you see, when you're drunk, you'll do things you don't normally do. When you're drunk, you can't hide it. You do foolish things. He's talking about here being wise, being filled with the Spirit. He's talking about walking in the Spirit here. And when we walk in the Spirit, we cannot hide it. We cannot hide walking in the Spirit. It is seen. It is evident in our lives when we walk in the Spirit. He said, be filled. Don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. Be filled with Him that will make you different. Be filled with Him that will have an influence on those around you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Let me give an example of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, he said in that inner man, when the Spirit's in control, you'll be speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Isn't that beautiful? He said when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you'll be speaking to yourselves. Speak to yourself first. You'll be speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. That is one of the blessings of being filled with the Holy Spirit. You'll find yourself making melody in your heart to the Lord. Communion with Him and singing to Him and in your heart praising Him. That's one of the indications of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 20. It'll put a thankfulness, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, unthankfulness is a terrible thing in America. We have so much to be thankful for. Some of you are sitting here and you very seldom ever go to a doctor. Some of you are sitting here today and you're healthy and well. Do you take it for granted? Are you thankful for your health? I wonder if some of our parents, some of us senior people, older folks, if my dad could come back just immediately like this and walk inside my home, he would not know what to do in some areas. Never saw anything like that. He never, as far as I know, unless he did and I wasn't aware of it, my dad never talked on the telephone. He'd be amazed to have a telephone. What are you thankful for? We ought to be so thankful. So thankful. Now, I'm not using my life as an example. I was raised in a place, in an area when at Christmas, our Christmas consisted of a few oranges and apples and scrap candy. That was our Christmas. Boy, did we have a blast. But we have an abundance every day. Life is so easy for most of us. What are we thankful for? What are you thankful for today? Well, if you have the Holy Spirit in your heart, He'll help you to be thankful. Thankful for your family. Thankful for your children. I want to say to many of the parents in this church, you ought to be thankful for your children. I've watched your children. I've watched their lives. They're such a blessing. They are an example. And I thank God for them. And you ought to be, if you have godly kids, you ought to be thankful to God from the bottom of your heart. And you children, if your parents bring you to church on Sunday morning, if your parents are sitting here in this congregation with you this morning, you are to thank God that you have parents like that. I'm saying to you that we are to walk in the Spirit. We're to speak to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. And the Lord don't care if you miss notes. Now, if you can't carry a note, to be honest with you, and you know, can't sing on tune, sometimes we can hinder the specials, or we can hinder the choir, and we ought not do that. Brother Wade wouldn't want me to sing in the choir, and I don't get excited, Brother Wade, for not wanting me to sing in the choir. You wouldn't want me to sing a solo in the nursery when there's no kids in there. I'm not made that way. I can't carry a tune. I sing one way. I just open my mouth and just let it fly out. You can't have a choir like that. You can't have a quartet like that. But you can sing to Jesus and it won't offend Him. You can sing and make melody to the Lord and get off key, and He won't be offended at all. Just sing to the Lord and yourself. Sing to yourself and to the Lord, and it'll be a blessing to you. Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 19. I read that verse. Look at verse 20. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We are a nation of ingratitude. We really are. We are a nation that don't know how to be thankful. We've had the best so long, we've lost that ability to be thankful to God for His mercy and His grace. We really have. And then I like this, verse 21, submitting yourselves. This is the fruit of one of the fruits of the Spirit. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. We are to walk in love. We are to walk in light. We are to walk in wisdom. And we are to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. Oh, such a wonderful, wonderful relationship. And it's all because we are seated with Christ in heaven. You're already there. You're seated with Him. Positionally, practically, you're here on earth. But positionally, you're seated with Jesus in heaven. I'd like to live like a heavenly person, wouldn't you? I believe the Lord wants us to live a little heaven while we're here on earth. I hope you'll think about this message, and I hope that God can have His way with all of us. Let's stand together, please.